Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and if you would like to have an outline of the lesson I started last week and follow along while we go through it, let me make a statement first. I quickly moved this over from publisher to works, and I noticed there's some things that are not quite right as I look at it one more time. And I didn't proof it, so I noticed there's some grammatical errors in there, specifically singular verbs that ought to be plural. Now, so if you'd like to have one, raise your hand, they'll give you one, and at least you can follow along and give Betty Lou one so she can correct it. I have put some errors in there so everybody would get something out of it. Some people, when I do this, never comment on the message. They just point out all the errors. If you can't read, there's no need of you getting one. So, just a little lesson on justification. Seven blessings of justification. And if you have found your place in the Bible, if you'll stand with me, we'll read once again chapter 5 in the book of Romans. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. But who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we want you to notice particularly the statement in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you and go a little bit further on the subject, seven blessings of justification. Seven blessings of justification. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God that makes it plain to those who care to listen and believe how sinners can be saved, how we can be justified in the sight of Almighty God. Now help us tonight as your children to rejoice in Jesus Christ and the salvation that He purchased and has given to us so freely, and not to us alone, but to anyone who will accept Him as their Savior. Now help me tonight to be very clear. Help me to be a blessing. And when this service is over, may we leave here having learned just a little bit more from your word about the wonderful, marvelous blessings of salvation through Jesus Christ. One of those many blessings is to be justified. To be justified. Now help me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I said last week, the verse number 1 begins with the word therefore and lets us know that as a summary of the first four chapters, Paul is summarizing some important truths so that he can teach us the wonderful truth of justification. Now, in his summary in the previous chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, he states plainly that man is a sinner and is condemned in the sight of God. You can go and read through those chapters and see that the prevalent idea in those chapters is that we are sinners. And he goes into the, especially chapter 3, an indictment after indictment against Jew and Gentile about our sin. And then chapter 4 and 5, he talks about man, the fact that even though we're sinners, we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's a wonderful thing, because it's not by works. If it was by works, then no one could be justified, because who could do enough to merit the redemption we have in Christ Jesus? It's not by giving or money. Who could give enough? We're not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. And he lets us know that our justification is on the merits of faith and in Jesus Christ. Faith alone. You say, well, where do we get that faith? God gives it to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The faith is not of ourself. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then in chapters 4, he gives us an example of justification by faith. And that example is Abraham. Now, Abraham lived before the law. And Abraham was justified by faith in God's promises. And even through the Old Testament, there's only been one way a sinner can be justified in the sight of God. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. You say, now wait a minute, back in the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't been born. No, but he was. And he was prophesied about, his birth, his redemption, his death, his resurrection was prophesied of in the Old Testament. Sometimes I think some of the Old Testament prophets had a greater understanding of Christology than many today who live on this side of Calvary. But understand that faith is a wonderful thing. It's based on the Word of God, the promise of God, and faith can look either direction. On that side of the BC side of Calvary, faith looked forward to the promise. You say, but they were just hoping. No, they believed God, and it was counted to them for righteousness. They looked forward to the promise that God was going to send His Son, born in a manger in the city of Bethlehem, miraculously conceived by a virgin, and the incarnation would take place. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And they heard the Word of God and believed God. Now, we stand on this side of Calvary and look back by faith. You say, well, it's a lot easier for us than it was for them. Is the Word of God any less? Was it any less important for them than it was for us? Absolutely not. I think probably when they had a word from God, it might have been a little more precious than it is to many who call themselves Christians today. But it's on the basis of faith in God's promise. And the example is Abraham. And in the New Testament, it lets us know that if we believe by faith, we become children of Abraham. We become children of God. By faith in Jesus Christ. Now let me explain again briefly the word justification, what it means. To be justified is a legal term that means to be declared righteous and free from guilt and sin's condemnation. Now that's what God does for us in Jesus Christ. And God could not do that just by His spoken word. You do understand that you and I cost God more than all of His creation? When God stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence, it didn't cost Him a red penny. By the power of His spoken word, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. By the power of His omnipotence, He brought life into existence, and animal life and plant life and fowl and fish. Then He made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And none of the creation, from the planets and the galaxies to the stars and the moon and the sun or the earth, cost God nothing. But to justify one sinner required God to pay the price of His own sinless Son dying in our place. You do understand that. And that day on Calvary, when God imputed to Jesus the sin of the world, God did not just put our sin on Jesus. The Bible says they made Him to become sin for us. And when God judged Him on the cross, you say, oh, the Roman soldiers and the Jews, they crucified Him. No, it was God allowing it to happen. It was God bringing it to pass. God told in the Old Testament how He would die and where He would die. Even set it forth in type. When Abraham offered his only son on Mount Moriah, God stayed His hand and gave a realm in its place. By the way, that Moriah was the chain of mountains that's where Calvary is at. God took all of our sin and put it on Jesus. And he looked down at Jesus and saw his son, a sin sacrifice. And God poured out his judgment and wrath the same way he had poured out on a sinner in hell. God poured it out on his son. And he suffered and bled and died so that when we put our trust in Jesus, his righteousness could be imputed to us. And God looked down on us and see nothing but the sinlessness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God says, they are justified. Someone said it means just as if I'd never sinned. Declared righteous in the sight of God. That's what justification is. We told you last week that the first blessing of justification is now the sinner is at peace with God. You see, without Jesus, you're at war with God, and God's at war with you. We're enemies. Enemies of the cross and enemies of God. Before there can be a relationship between a holy God and a sinful man, peace has got to be made. And a holy God must be reconciled to a sinful man. And that's what Jesus did on that cross. Someone said from the cross he reached up and took the hand of God and reached down and took the hand of the sinner and brought them together in the blood of Calvary. And we're declared righteous. The first blessing is peace. Peace. Now, before I got saved, I used to have nightmares about dying and going to hell. Man, nobody had to tell me as a sinner. I knew who I was and I knew what I was. I knew I was a sinner. And I'd go to bed at night and I'd have nightmares. That was back in the days after the First World War and the Cold War was starting and the bomb had been dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the talk was Russia was going, they had the bomb and they was going to drop it on America, and that went on in the 40s, late 40s and early 50s. And here I am, a teenage boy, thinking about that. My brother's already been killed in the war. World War II. I'd go to bed at night and I'd dream and I'd wake up screaming. Because I knew if I died, I was going to hell. You know, one of the first benefits I realized when I was saved, I didn't dream anymore. That fear had been taken away. I had peace with God and the peace of God in my heart. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's two kinds of peace I told you about. The peace with God, that's when we accept Christ as Savior. And then the peace of God is when we yield our life to Him and make Him Lord of our life and quit fighting against God's will. Then we come to the second blessing of justification. After we're justified, we have a new access to God. Look at verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have new access. No longer is God off out there in a distance that we hear about but we have no relationship with. Now then, He is our God. We have peace with God and we have access before a holy, holy God. This is a continual access by faith. It's not periodic. We can't talk to God just on Sundays. He's available on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We don't have to wait until a crisis comes to talk to God. He's available at any time. He's available for us to pray about all things and talk to about all things. I hear people say, "Oh, preacher man, I know it's important to get counsel." Yes, it is. And let me tell you, two of the greatest counsels you ever get is when you get the counsel of the Word of God and get on your knees and ask God to make known unto you His will for your life. Do it. We have access. Access by faith because we're justified. This access is continual by prayer. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Before our justification, God was so far away from, He was further from us than we are from the moon. We'd have easier access to the moon than we would in our lost condition, having access into the presence of God. Had a doctor ask me one time, said, "Preacher, how do I know God answers my prayer? Here's my prayers." And I said, "Well, the first thing you've got to do is to realize that prayer is a privilege for God's children. The only prayer God will hear and answer of the sinner is that, 'Be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me.' Prayer primarily is the privilege of a child of God. Until we've prayed that sinner's prayer and accepted Christ as Savior, God's a million miles away from us. He won't hear our prayers. He won't answer our prayers as lost people. It's the privilege of a heavenly Father to a redeemed child here on earth. But oh, because of justification, we have access to God. It's continual. Anytime, day or night. Not just on Sundays, not just at church time. You don't have to go to the preacher or the priest and get him to intercede for you. You have access to God. One of the great biblical truths that's overlooked by many religions is the priesthood of the believer. We are believer priests. It means that, not unlike the Old Testament, we don't have to go to a priest to go in and intercede for us. I've been redeemed. I am a priest believer. I have direct access to God. That veil that separated between the holy place and the most holy place has been torn down. It's rent in twain. Access into the presence of God has been provided for us. Have you used it this week yet? You know, the week's half over. Are your needs so few that you don't need to talk to Him? Your burden so light that you don't need to talk to Him? Have you spent time with Him? Have you made known your heartaches and your burdens and your fears? Come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Preacher, where do I get that mercy? Where do I get that grace? Try starting out on your knees. Try starting out on your knees. old preacher was walking through a granite mine, and they were cutting granite, shaping the granite. These men were on their knees with their hammer and chisels, and man, pieces of granite was going everywhere. Preacher said, I wish I could do that. I wish I could have that kind of effect on the hard granite-like hearts, adamant hearts of people I preach to. And some wise old Christian said, sir, you probably could if you do your work like they do theirs on their knees. I wonder how many victories we would win in our lives, how many burdens would be lifted in our lives, how many needs would be met and not go unmet, if we'd learn how to take advantage of the access we have to God. I'm here to tell you probably the two most unused things we have is the privilege of prayer and time in the Word of God. And how in the world can we, how can we live a Christian life without practicing time reading the Bible and time on our knees talking to God? Someone said, when I read the Bible, God's talking to me. And when I'm praying, I'm talking to God. Oh, my soul. May I say to you that we have had it so good so long and have felt that we didn't need God. He's bringing us to the place where we don't have it so good to see if we'll pray then. God does know how to get our attention. And one of the privileges, one of the blessings of justification is access into the presence of God. Access. I'm looking out here at people that struggling with jobs, struggling with health problems, struggling with problems in your home or in your marriage, struggling with children. Have you ever thought about using blessing number two of justification and taking advantage of the access we have into the very presence of God? When my children had a need, they never feared about running to Daddy and asking for help. If they were hurting or if they were hungry. If they had a need, they'd come and ask. And they knew they could because they were my children. Have you lost the reality that you're one of God's children if you're saved? And we have that access into His presence. Oh, glorious access. When I get on my knees and I cry out, my Heavenly Father, I'm not just talking to a room. That reaches up through the heavens into the very presence of where God stands or sits and where Jesus is at His right hand. And Jesus takes that prayer. He is our mediator between man and God. Father, Bob's talking to you. He's one of your children. I bought him. I paid for him with my own blood. His sins are under the blood. You justified him through faith in me. He's got a hurt, Father. Listen to him. In my name, He's coming to you. In my name, He's telling you about His burden. He's pleading my blood and my name. And the Father listens. God said He'd answer our prayer in His will. He even goes so far to soul winners, he'll say, ask, and it'll be given to you. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What a privilege we have in prayer, and yet we don't use it. This access is any time, any place, and about anything. Think about it. Access to God through Jesus Christ on the merits of being declared righteous. Anytime, anywhere, and about anything. I've been talking to people this week and preachers all over this country sharing heartaches and burdens they're dealing with. They're no different in other states than we are here. And yet many times we bear those burdens because we don't take advantage of blessing number two, the blessing of justification, and that is now we have access to God because we've been justified. No longer enemies, no longer strangers, no longer outcast, but we're sons, daughters, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus because we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me and I'll be through tonight. This year at Christmas time, we're talking about I want this and I want that and I need this and I need that. And the truth is, our greatest need and that which would be most profitable to our lives and our homes would be able to come to the place where we can honestly claim those first two blessings of justification. Peace with God. Peace through Jesus Christ. Secondly, access. Access to Him. Oh, what a difference that would make in your family. What a difference it would make in your life. What a difference it would make for you as a Christian. If you'd learn to claim the benefits of the first two blessings. Peace with God and access into His very throne room through the privilege of prayer. Access. I promise you, if the Queen of England invited you to come into her presence, and she'd pay the cost to make it possible, you'd be so excited, you'd start getting ready for the trip. And yet, the King of Glory has paid the price so we can have access into His presence. And we act as though it's nothing. And yet, it's one of the greatest blessings and the greatest benefits of salvation we'll ever know. Access into His very presence through Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for this wonderful, wonderful blessing of justification. Access into Your presence. Access in prayer. Heaven is no longer brass. Our prayers no longer have to fall on the floor. There's a God in heaven who has an ear tuned toward His children. And He's given us by Jesus Christ access into His very presence. Help us to learn to use it. Help us to be good custodians of that blessing of access. Help us to use it. Help us to try to wear it out on our journey between here and heaven. in Jesus' name.